Morning, everybody. Morning. I'm glad when I gave this talk at the morning service, the 8 o'clock service, I got up here to find that somebody had run off with all my notes. I placed them carefully on that desk, thinking they would be there for when I came up, and to my horror, I discovered somebody had moved them. Anyway, you'll be pleased or not pleased to hear that I've recovered my notes and they're in front of me. But before I start, shall we just pray together? Our Heavenly Father, we ask you now that as we consider what your word has to say to us, that you'll help us with our understanding of the message and transform our lives as we consider together your great salvation. Amen. Amen. In the passage we have just read in Luke, Jesus sent out 72 others plus the 12 disciples that we read of at the start of chapter 9. They were sent out to prepare the way for Jesus. We too, as believers, have a divine commission to prepare the way for Jesus to enter the hearts of those who will come to faith. While the Great Commission at the end of Matthew, go and make disciples of all nations, was given to the disciples, we were invited many times in the Bible to make this glorious gospel known to those who live in total rejection, ignorance of its message, or have chosen to reject it. Paul mentions the need for proclaiming the gospel in Romans. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As we look at the world around us and consider the desperate plight of those who have not listened to or refused to accept the most important message that can ever be heard, surely our hearts must be filled with concern for their salvation. The church, that is the body of believers, has a message that only it can proclaim. It is vital, therefore, that it makes proclamation of the message at the centre of its activities. In Jesus' instructions to the 72 went out, the first thing that he mentioned was the need to pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest to ask him to send out more workers. It's still sadly true today that there are few willing to boldly proclaim the truth contained in the Bible. So we need to do as Jesus says and pray for more people to share this message together with the boldness required. Jesus warned the 72 that they were going out as lambs among wolves. The work is not easy. What then is the message of Christianity that needs to be presented to the world? Now you realise that I haven't done preaching for a long time, but I've got 3 points. How about that? So there's three different headings. And if it helps you remember this talk, the basic word begins with a U. Anyway, the first one is, the message of Christianity, it is unique. There's no other message contained in the world that resembles this gospel. Men have for centuries come up with many varying philosophies and isms, communism, socialism, capitalism, Buddhism as examples. And no doubt while this earth continues, many more will be dreamed up. They ultimately will all fail and do not address the main problem that mankind has. That of its rebellion against God and its worship of humanity instead. Whereas, the Bible message comes from the God who made us. It is not something that we have dreamed up, but is a direct revelation to us. We can therefore trust the contents of the Bible and need to heed and pass on the message. The Bible is concerned with God's relationship to man, and tells us of how man disobeyed God's instruction when Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden. And we know that God cursed the earth and banished them from the garden and warned them that their lives would be difficult for them from now on. Which is a very sobering verse to read, but we can see the results of it. We live in such a world. Paul reminds us that this is how sin entered the world. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned, So the message is that we are born sinful, a state which separates us from God. Sin manifests itself in many ways and forms, but is at its heart rebellion against God. As we read in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Not a message that we willingly want to hear, but it describes exactly why the world is as it is. That's our number one problem. We need to recognise our state. The world will tell us that we are basically good, but the Bible gives us the opposite view. When I was born, apparently a midwife said to my mother, if you don't get control of him now, you never will. Now, I'll leave you to determine whether she actually did have any control over me. But I don't know whether this lady was a Christian or not, but one thing for sure, she was a very good observer of human behaviour. When I went to school, I didn't attend a class telling me how to be naughty, which is a bit of a shame, because if I had, I'd have probably been in grade A for that. We don't need to be told, do we? All of us have become like one. It does get better, by the way. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags, as we read in Isaiah chapter 64. Our sins have separated us from God. But the marvel of the gospel is that God in his love has made salvation available to us as a free gift. Other religions require works to placate their God, in inverted commas, but we are saved by trusting in the sacrifice of God's Son on our behalf. Saved from what? Ultimately, the wrath of God. God is a judge who pronounces judgment but also offers a way of escape, in that our punishment has been taken by his Son. There is no better message than this, that God has punished Jesus on our behalf. Many people assume or hope that if there is a God, then their good ways will outbalance the bad, and they will therefore get to heaven, if of course they believe in heaven. The uniqueness of God's way of salvation is that it is found in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us that he is the way, the truth, the life, and that no one comes to the Father apart from through him. There's no other way to get to God or be accepted by him. We must, in the words of Jesus, be born again. We need new spiritual life, without which we have no hope of knowing God or being accepted by him. So that's the first you. It's unique. The second you is urgency, the urgency of the message. This message is more important than life or death. It is an issue that affects spiritual life and death, an eternal issue. Its message is addressed to each individual one of us and tells us with clarity that God recognises two types of people, those who know and want to follow him and those who do not. Without this message, there is no ultimate hope. Men hope that perhaps with education and a few more million years, that we may have sorted out our problems. Well, I don't know about you, but my observation of life is that man's been around for quite a while. And are we improving? I think the evidence is so absolutely there that anybody who doesn't believe, who believes that we're improving, well, I don't know. But anyway, if you think differently, come tell me afterwards and have a word with me. Anyway, Jesus told us of, but the Bible makes it plain that this world will not get better. Jesus told us of what the world will be like when he comes again to judge the world. And this is what he says. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be coming at the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. As we consider the state of the world, we should realise that without the wonderful message of the gospel, we would be as those who are without hope and without God in the world. The Christian message is not just something we bolt onto our lives, an optional extra, a means of making us a bit happier. It is literally life-changing. A life change in which God writes his law on our hearts, so that we change from wanting to live for ourselves to wanting to live in ways that please him. Paul put it this way: therefore, if any man, or woman of course, better say that these days, be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This message must not be drowned out by other issues or by making it more palatable. We can so easily be sidetracked by trying to make the world a better place, when without this message, people blindly continue in their path of sin. If we could make sure that no one was hungry, but they were still headed for a godless eternity with no warning from us, then we have not fulfilled God's commission. This, of course, is not to say that we should not get involved in helping those in need. The Bible is full of that. We must help the helpless, the poor, the hungry. It's full of that. But we do need to preach this message. Sin manifests itself in many ways, and the root cause, that is rebellion against God, must be dealt with by pointing people to Christ, who alone has the power to change lives. So often we try treating the symptoms without addressing the disease. This is like placing a sticking plaster on a broken leg. The Bible graphically describes the results of sins in our lives. It also describes the transformation after God has worked in us. Take the passage found in Ephesians. When Paul was writing to Ephesians, he said this: as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. That's God's wrath, of course. But the change is now. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. Both John the Baptist and Jesus spoke urgently of the need for repentance, a change in direction from following our way to following God's way. While we are not saved by good works, if the message of the gospel has not changed our desires and actions, then we might well question whether we have really accepted this message. Jesus said that we would be known by our fruits. This, of course, is not to say that Christians are sinless. They still have a fallen nature against which they have to fight and sometimes fail. But their desire is to be like their Lord. So we've now got the final you. You'll be pleased to know. You're not asleep yet, are you? The final you is ultimate consequences. When Jesus sent out the disciples to prepare the way for him, he indicated that they would not always be welcomed. Despite his being the best message that this world has ever received, despite the miracles that he did, many rejected him. This situation has not changed. It's summed up in John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Many people shut their ears to this message, even when their conscience tells them that there's truth in what they hear and that their lives will need to change if they listen. So they hurry on by. They prefer Frank Sinatra's song, I did it my way. And as the Bible puts it, they are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. In chapter 9 of Luke, Jesus said these sobering words: whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very soul? Whoever is ashamed of me, and these are terrible words, or frightening words, ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Rejection of this message has very serious consequences. We saw it in the passage that we read together. Jesus said that Sodom, a city that was destroyed by God for its wickedness, will be better off on Judgment Day than the town that saw the Messiah but rejected him. Rejection of this message leads to an eternal separation from God. There is a day of judgment coming when people will be separated into those who know God and those who don't. Heaven and hell are both realities. And believe it or not, Jesus spoke more of hell than he did of heaven. There will be no sin in heaven. Therefore, any who wished to continue in their sinful ways will have no place there. As Christians, we don't wish to continue in our sinful ways. Not to say that we do sin, absolutely. But our desire is to be holy, isn't it? To be like our Saviour. God does not want to send us to hell, which is why he has provided Jesus and his death and resurrection, where he took the punishment for all our sins, as the way of salvation to us. And as an utterly assured means of avoiding his wrath against sin. We sang about that in the song just now, didn't we? Like Paul, those who have trusted in their salvation have no condemnation and nothing to fear. So we have seen that this message is unique, it is urgent, and it has ultimate consequences. We are in the possession of the greatest news that this world has ever known. Dare we keep silent while we see so many who are headed the wrong way? In God's strength, we must go forth and spread the good saving news of the gospel. Amen.